Good evening, everyone. We want to welcome you along to the Lord's house this Sabbath evening. We appreciate your presence with us at the Gospel service. We're turning to the hymn 500 as we commence the meeting. Words that were penned by Fanny Crosby. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. The hymn 500, please, and we'll stand together as we sing. Before the Lord, we'll take a moment to lift our hearts to Him. Our Father, as we come to Thee in prayer, we ask that You'll guide us through our prayers, and come, Father, and guide us through this meeting tonight. We want to praise Thee for our Saviour, our the Lord Jesus. We rejoice, Father, that we're able to say this evening that to us who believe, He is precious. Jesus, my Saviour, is precious to me. And Lord, our prayer would be that even through the meeting tonight, that You'll draw us as Thy people closer to Thyself. We desire to learn more about the Saviour. We ask Thee, Father, to teach us from Your word tonight. And we plead that You'll draw us closer to Christ. We plead, give us that closer walk with God, We ask as well, Father, that you'll work in our hearts and lives, and that you'll make us more like Christ. Our desire would be to be conformed to the image of thy dear Son. We want to pray, Father, that others might see more of the Saviour in us day by day. Remember that it says of John the Baptist, where he said that he must increase and I must decrease. And Father, that's the longing, that's the desires of our hearts. We do want to pray, Father, come and be here tonight, come and be with us. Our desire is to know Christ in the midst. We pray that the Saviour will come. We ask that he will tabernacle in this gathering. Come, Father, and fill this house with thy presence tonight. We desire to meet with thee. We desire to commune with thee. And Lord, we want to ask, even in the service and through the service, that you'll give us a sight of Christ. Take away the blindness. Take away the scales. We pray that especially in the ministry of your word tonight, that you'll reveal the Saviour to us. We're asking, Father, bless all that are gathered. We thank you for the evening service. We want to ask that you'll strengthen these meetings. We pray that you'll lead us on a Sabbath night. We ask, Father, that you'll come and give the increase. Give others a desire to come to thy house on the Sabbath evening. Give, Father, a burden for the gospel meeting, for bringing in the lost. Bringing in, Father, the unconverted to hear the message of the gospel. We want to pray that these evening meetings are meetings when the power of God is known, the power of your Spirit rests upon the preaching, that the gospel will be preached not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of the living God. Lord, speak in our meeting tonight. Speak with power. Speak, we pray, to the saving of precious souls. We would want to ask, Father, that there'll be those that will be called in this meeting to thyself in salvation. We pray, give us a burden for the lost. Give us a vision. And Lord, we do plead. Your word says we have not because we ask not. So we're asking earnestly that you'll come and save souls amongst us. Just in these meetings. We especially, again, remember the mothers of our congregation and the mothers connected with the families of this church. Be near to them today especially. Especially, Father, those in need. We remember the older members of the congregation, the older mothers and grandmothers, some unwell, some weak at this time. We just pray that you'll be near to them. Especially, Father, we remember Mrs. Gillespie. We ask that she'll know your presence in the hospital. Pray that your hand will continue upon her. Thank you for the progress that she has made and is making. We pray, Father, strengthen her in body. Give the family help and give them wisdom at this time. Remember our sister that's so far away from home. Pray that she would just know the nearness of the Lord and your peace. We're mindful of Tracy tonight, Tracy Anderson, asking, Lord, just be with Tracy and remember John and Helen and the burden upon their hearts, Tracy's husband Ian as well. Lord, give them the grace, the help that is needed. We pray you'll guide the doctors just at this time. Give to them great wisdom. Remember tonight that you're the Almighty. You're the one that made the body. You're able to heal it. We're asking, Father, that Tracy might know a very clear and definite and powerful healing touch from thyself, even at this time. Lord, do remember us through the rest of this meeting. We want to give it into your hands. We cry for the guidance of God in the service in every part. Remember Phyllis as she will minister to us in song. Thank you for the gifts of music, of playing and of singing that you've bestowed upon our sister. Use her. We pray tonight, we ask that you'd speak through her, pray that her hearts will be blessed, that her hearts might be touched. Your word says that we're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. And Lord, we ask thee to speak to our hearts, even through the messages and song and through the hymns that we sing together to your praise tonight as well. Give help in the ministry this evening. We think of the great responsibility, Father, to open up the Word of God, to bring a message from God to this congregation. Lord, we ask thee to use the message tonight. We pray it will be the word that is needed for this meeting, for this hour. We pray, Father, that you would open the scriptures to us tonight, but Lord, come and apply the word by your Spirit with mighty power. We're mindful of those that are listening in as well on the live stream, some of the members of the church that can't be here because of weakness and ill health. We ask you to be near to them. And Lord, even as the services are broadcast to other lands across the earth, we thank you for the means given to the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We ask you, Father, to use the meeting tonight. We pray that it'll be a blessing. But Lord, our prayer would be that you would even speak to some heart or soul that has wandered away from the Lord. And we pray that through this broadcast tonight, that a backslider, even in some other place, will be brought again into fellowship with thyself. Lord, hear these our prayers. Come and be with us, we ask. May the Spirit come down and may hover upon this meeting tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read a few verses in the scriptures, please. Turning to the Old Testament and to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. Just after the book of Judges, just before the first book of Samuel. The book of Ruth, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. Let's hear the Lord's word to our hearts tonight. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, saying, The Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Closing our reading there this evening, the end of the first chapter. And we pray God will follow with his blessing to every heart. That's the public reading of his word. We're delighted to have a soloist in the service tonight. As I mentioned to you this morning, we always like on Mother's Day to have a mother or a grandmother take part in the service. So we appreciate Phyllis's willingness to sing to us this evening. I think this is maybe the first time you've done it in the church. You've done it in the ladies' meeting, some of the other meetings. So we're delighted and we're looking forward to it. So if you'll come and minister in song to us, Phyllis, we'll appreciate that.
Very much indeed.
Sometimes trusting, sometimes doubting, sometimes joyful, sometimes sad. All the peace my Savior gives, peace I never knew. For my way has brighter grown, tremors cease. And when I had fully trusted, filled my soul with perfect peace, all the peace my Savior gives, peace I never knew before. For my way since I learned to trust Him more, blessed Savior, Thou dost keep me by Thy power from day to day, and my heart is full of gladness. For Thou keep me always. Oh, the peace my Savior gives, peace I never knew before. For my way is brighter grown since I learned to trust Him more. For my way is brighter grown since I learned to trust Him
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Another has ever known. He speaks and the sound of His voice, it's so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing, and He walks with me. He talks with me and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
unknown. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me is falling, but he bids me go through the voice of one. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Wasn't that great? We do want to assure Sister that we were greatly blessed by both of those messages and song to our hearts tonight. And we do thank her again for ministering to us. We pray you might be encouraged by that and you'll sing for us again in the not too distant future. But we thank you sincerely, Phyllis, for the peace my Saviour gives to me, that first peace, the first message. We pray you know that peace. If you're not saved, come to Christ tonight. Come and trust him. Even as the Lord's people, we need to trust him more amidst all the trying circumstances of life and the days in which we're found. And that lovely peace when we come to the garden alone. The joy we share as we tarry there. The importance of spending a wee bit of time with the Lord. And we pray that we'll know that joy. Remember, David lost the joy. We pray that others might see the joy of the Lord in their lives and in their testimonies. We thank you all for your presence. We're glad to see you at the gospel service on this Sabbath night. And we pray that you'll be blessed and go away rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. If you've come to visit tonight, we want to thank you for that. We're glad of your presence. We pray that you'll be encouraged this evening by the meeting. We're glad to see the young people that are gathered with us tonight. We pray that you'll be encouraged as well. It's a good thing to come to the evening service. That's a good thing, a good habit to learn when you're young in life. And we pray that you'll be blessed and encouraged by that. And all looking in on the live stream, we appreciate you doing that. We pray you'll know the nearness of the Lord. And even through the service tonight, you'll hear the voice of the Lord that he'll speak to your heart. Remember the activities of the church in the incoming week, the Lord willing. Tomorrow morning at 10 is the parent and toddler group in the church hall downstairs. And tomorrow evening at 8 is the ladies meeting. Miss Elizabeth Edwards, a second year student in the Whitfield College with a special burden for missionary work. Elizabeth will be here to testify and to tell of the call of God and to bring a message in the meeting as well. So we encourage all of the ladies, come along and bring your friends along with you. Keep in mind Tuesday night, 6:45, the two bright hours for the boys and girls here in the church hall, also down in the Killalea Band Hall. Wednesday at 8 is the midweek service, special deputation meeting for the ploughing outreach at the National Ploughing Championships in Southern Ireland. Every year, the Reverend Jonathan Crane, who's one of the leaders of that work, our brother's a great burden for reaching the south and for especially reaching the rural community. So Jonathan will be here to report, to bring a challenge to our hearts and to show the deputation video of the work that they do at the championships. We encourage you to come along to that meeting. Remember, there will be a retiring offering taken for the outreach at the championship, so come prepared to give liberally to that. Friday night at 8 is the youth fellowship. It's a home meeting here in the church hall, and Matthew Muldrew, one of our youth leaders, will be bringing the message. He'll be the speaker. Do remember Matthew in your prayers, and we encourage all of the young people to come along. Next Lord's Day then, the 26th of March, 10:40, the Sunday School and Bible classes. Morning worship, 11:30. I'll be the preacher at that meeting. 6:30 in the evening is the gospel service. Next Sunday night will take the form of our parents' night for the children's bright hours. So the children from both meetings will be here to take part. The little program that they will have prepared for that service. The prizes will be given out as well at the end. There will be supper for everyone downstairs in the church hall afterwards. So we ask you to remember that. We encourage the ladies to help with the supper. We're notified that one of the young people has a peanut allergy, so please don't bring any peanuts or anything related to nuts along to the service for the supper next Sunday night. That would be a great help. The speaker is Miss Christina Logan. Remember, Christina is a children's worker in the province here with the Mission Board. And do please keep in mind the half hours of prayer before both services. Remember, the election of office bearers will take place Wednesday week, in the will of the Lord, Wednesday, the 29th of March at 8 o'clock. Keep in mind, no postal votes for the election. You must be present to cast your votes on the night, so we encourage a good turnout, a full turnout of communicant members. Please check the lists on the notice board. Check the list of communicants eligible to vote. If you think your name should be on that and it's not, speak to me about that as soon as possible. And also remember that if after prayerful consideration you don't want to stand for the offices of the church, let us know about that. Remember, we need to know if you want your name removed by this Friday. That's Friday the 24th of March. And then the final lists, the final voting lists, will be posted on the notice board in the porch next Sabbath day for all the members to see and consider. Remember the Vision magazine, the latest edition, the March edition of the magazine. If you haven't received your copy, those are at the doors. Remember, there's a little article there to mark the 25th anniversary of our sister from the church who labours for the Lord on the mission field. Continue to remember Mrs. Gillespie in your prayers, that the Lord will give her a strengthening touch, and it will please the Lord just to allow her to get back home again in the not too distant future. Remember Tracy Anderson, that's John and Helen Cowan's daughter. We had mentioned that during the week, that Tracy's on well, going through some tests. John and Helen would value your prayers for Tracy at this time. Some of you will remember Tracy attending the church here and coming up through the Sunday school a number of years ago. So remember Tracy, please, in your prayers, that the Lord will guide the doctors and grant her a healing touch just at this time. Keep in mind the other meetings that are taking place. The installation of the Reverend John Woods, the new minister of the Carrickfergus Church, in Carrickfergus this coming Friday night at 8. Those two pudding evenings, well, they're both on the same evening, Market Hill, from 6:30 to 9 on Friday night at the Market Hill Church. All proceeds to the Emmanuel Christian School. And Kyle Wenlock, down in his home outside Macrafelt, is having a pudding night as well to raise funds for the work team that's going out to the Emmanuel Mission Station over the Easter period. That's between 6 and 10. You're welcome at Kyle's home. Next Saturday morning at 11, the presbytery is holding a protest against abortion just at the front of Belfast City Hall, the cobbled area there, just at the main gates. The Reverend Armstrong will be the speaker, the moderator. And remember that the presbytery would like that to be a family protest. It's not just for the men, for the members of presbytery. Everyone in the congregations, you're welcome to go along as a family to give your support to it. And remember, next Saturday night in Bethany, 7:30, the annual praise service to help raise funds and support for the Portadown Independent Christian School, when the Reverend McRae and friends will be there to minister and take part. We'll put the details for that up on the Facebook page just as the week continues. 371, please. We'll sing together just as we come to the Word of God tonight. 371. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, it is now. So 371, standing to sing, please. Preaching. Pray for the message that will be profitable to your heart. Pray the Lord will use it tonight. Pray that even through the meeting, the Lord will deepen, develop, strengthen our love for Him. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. May the Lord give us a deeper love for the one that loved us and died for us. Father, we do seek thee, thankful to be in your house on the Sabbath evening. Come and breathe upon our lives. Come and revive us personally. Come and revive, Father, the work. Revive this church. Remember the cry of the psalmist, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Thank you, Father, for the blessing this church has known in former days. We confess tonight that we need your blessing afresh in all the fullness of the power of thy Spirit. Lord, do lead us on with yourself. We thank you for the greatness of your love for us. And we pray that you would deepen and strengthen our love for thee over grace, that we might love thee more. Bless the going forth of your word. Lord, come and give utterance tonight. Come and give help. Our prayer would be, Father, that as the word of God goes forth, that all that are present, all that are listening to this service, will be conscious that God himself is speaking to our hearts. We ask you to answer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, the 21st verse. It says, these are the words of Naomi on her return to Bethlehem. "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." The Lord hath brought me home again empty. I want to speak tonight to the backslider in the meeting. I want you to ask yourself the question, each one, at the beginning of the message, in which direction are you travelling? In which direction are you going in the Christian life? Do you remember King Saul? As the Lord had to lament of him, "He has turned back from following after me." Sadly, that happens. It happens to Christians. And we want you to ask yourself tonight, has that taken place in your heart and in your life? Think of those words, "He has turned back." A very clear description, indication that King Saul was a backslider. Can I point out to you that backsliding can happen to the greatest of God's servants? Think of King David, backsliding, lost the joy of his salvation, fell into sin with Bathsheba. Think of Peter. Remember how cold Peter was? He denied the Lord with oaths, with curses, and he stood warming himself at the world's fire. So think of that tonight. The greatest of God's servants have backslidden, fallen into a backslidden state. And the warning, brethren and sisters, is, "He that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed, lest he fall." Remember too that you can come regularly to church, regularly to the meetings, participate in the activities of the church and still be a backslider. You don't have to be somewhere out in the world engaging in all the sins and pleasures of this world. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, he spoke about those who are a backslider in heart. Not a backslider in appearance or in the way that they live, but a backslider in their heart. I wonder, is that true of someone in the service? Think of what John said of the church at Ephesus, where the Lord said through John about the church at Ephesus that they had left their first love. That's a backslidden condition. That was true of the whole church of Ephesus at that time, not just individuals within it. So remember, brethren and sisters, you can come regularly to church and still be in a backslidden state. You can be a backslider and not know it. Not be conscious of it, not be aware of it. As in Samson, the great example of that in the scriptures, the Bible says they're amongst the most solemn words in all the Bible. "He wist not that the Lord was departed from him." So just take a moment, stop and consider this time last year. So we're coming out of the winter in the early part of 2022. Were you further on with God then than you are today, than you are at this time this year? If that is so, brethren and sisters, then you have gone back. You have slipped back. You've slidden back. You have become a backslider as well. You think of this chapter that's before us, Ruth chapter 1. There are three main characters in the chapter. And They're all ladies. They're all women. That's appropriate as we think of Mother's Day today. So the three main characters were Ruth and Orpah and Naomi. They're all from the same family. Naomi was the mother, and then Ruth and Orpah were the two daughters-in-law, all from the same family. And each one of them had a different spiritual condition. Ruth was a new convert. Remember, she was a believer. And she said, or Boaz said of her, "Under whose wings thou art come to trust." Ruth had her trust, her faith in the Lord for salvation. She was the new convert. Orpah, she was the empty professor. She was the one that turned back, went back to the things of the world again. And then Naomi. Well, Naomi is the backslider. Remember, she left Bethlehem. She left the house of bread. And she went to Moab. And Moab's a picture of the world in the Bible. She says in verse 19, "I went out. I went out full." And the reality, brethren and sisters, is that she went out from Bethlehem. Sorry, it's in verse 21. She said those words. She went out of Bethlehem, out of Israel. She went out of God's will, out from God's presence. She went out from fellowship with the Lord. So Naomi was a backslider, and her life is a warning to every backslider. We learn in the passage that she paid for her backsliding. She paid a severe price. That's the theme of our Bible study tonight, the price of backsliding. Naomi paid a severe price. We see in these verses that she didn't prosper when she went to Moab. We learn that she paid dearly for her actions. Things didn't work out for her in Moab as she had planned. The reality, whenever she came back to Bethlehem, well, we could sum it up like this. She was bankrupt in Bethlehem. She had lost so much. And I want to show you tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to show you something of the price that she paid for backsliding, for going out from the Lord and out from his presence and out from his will. You'll see, first of all, that she paid with the loss of joy. If you look at verse 20, she said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Remember that names in the Bible are significant. We encourage you, as you read the Bible, to study the names, to look up the meanings. The names here are unique. Naomi means pleasant, and Mara means bitter. And what a contrast. Remember the waters of Mara during the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. They were very bitter waters. The same idea here. She says, "Call me Mara. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me bitter." Why was that, men and women? Well, it's because she had lost her pleasantness. She had lost the joy in her life. She had lost the happiness. She was no longer, if we could describe it like this, Mary Sunshine. That's how one American Bible teacher gave the meaning of the name Naomi. She's no longer Mary Sunshine. She's no longer marked by radiant joy. Now she's bitter, she's sad, and she's miserable. In fact, we could say that Moab hadn't made her better, as she thought, but Moab had made her bitter. Now she's a sad, bitter old lady. I wonder, is that true of someone in the meeting? Not necessarily just a lady, but is that true of someone that is gathered here in the service tonight? Remember this, men and women. There's no more miserable person in all the world than a backslider. How could you be happy and not be walking with the Lord? How could you be happy if you've wandered away from the Lord and living for the things of this world? I wonder, is that true of you tonight? The psalmist said, "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Maybe you're the Lord's tonight. Of that there's no doubt. You can say that you're saved, but you're not happy. You don't have the fullness of joy of which his word speaks. The things of the world haven't satisfied you. The things of the world haven't brought joy, and they haven't brought happiness. Remember the hymn writer said, I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, yet ah, the waters failed. And e'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. Remember what the king said to Nehemiah? Why is thy countenance sad? Remember that the loss of joy, a sad countenance, is a bad testimony for a Christian. We sometimes talk about somebody in this country with a face like a Lurgan spade. Have you lost the joy of the Lord tonight? That's a very relevant, a very pertinent question. David, he prayed in that Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Notice he hadn't lost his salvation, even though that his sins were great and his sins were deep. You can't lose your salvation if you're truly saved. I give unto my sheep eternal life. But you can lose the joy of your salvation, men and women. And I wonder, are you the same as David? Is that true of you tonight? Remember this, no matter where you are, no matter who you're with, regardless of how successful you are, regardless of how much money you make and how much money you have, you'll never be happy. You'll never have joy if you're backslidden, if you're out of the will of God, if you're a Christian and you're not living your life for the Lord as you should. You can't have joy if you know that you're doing things that are wrong, if you know that you're not doing what is right before the Lord. You can't have joy in your life if you have a burden of guilt and a burden of sin. You can't have joy in your life if your conscience is accusing you and troubling you because of the things you're doing, the lifestyle in which you are engaged. So how did Naomi lose out? What price did you pay for backsliding? The first thing, she lost her joy. The second thing I'll mention is she lost her family. Is that something very solemn? Remember when they went to Moab, they went as a family. There was four of them. She took with her husband and her two boys. But when she came back from Moab again, she came back without the family. She was the only one of that family to return. Naomi lost her family. She lost her whole family. And how tragic that is, men and women. Things, let me stress it for you again, things did not work out for Naomi and Moab as she imagined. Remember, backsliding doesn't just affect you. If you backslide, it affects others. It influences others. The consequences are serious. And they're serious for those especially that are closest to you. For example, your family. If you backslide, it'll affect your whole family. I'll show you just a little more about that in a moment or two. But as well as affecting your family, if you backslide, it'll affect your friends. It'll have a very adverse effect upon your friends. If you backslide, it'll affect the church, the testimony of the church. It'll affect the lives of others within the church. It'll do damage to the testimony of the church. Remember what Nathan had to say to King David, that you've given the enemies of God an opportunity to blaspheme his holy name. So brethren and sisters, backsliding affects others, not just yourself. It's good to remember that. Good to have that stressed. You think of the family tonight, and the lesson here is you can lose your family by backsliding. Here, Naomi lost her family by death. The whole family taken out into eternity. She was left of her two sons and her husband, is what the word of God says. Remember when she left Moab, she left three fresh graves behind her. It's often asked, why did God permit the children and the family members to die? The question is asked, was that the judgment of God? The judgment of God upon her life. Maybe that is the case sometimes. There's another word I would focus, another word that I would emphasize in these circumstances, and that is the word chastisement. Chastisement is different from judgment. The New Testament says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Chastisement is God correcting our waywardness, God challenging us, God speaking to us, God correcting our stubbornness when we turn away from his command, turn away from his will for our lives. Think of that very familiar memory verse, Revelation 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Let me remind you, those words originally were written to a church, not to an unconverted person. And sometimes, men and women, the Lord has to knock on our heart's doors. Sometimes he has to knock very loudly. Sometimes he has to knock very hard. And that's what the Lord was doing here in the life of Naomi. He took away the husband. The Lord was speaking to her, you see. Speaking to her about what she had done, the influence that she had had upon the family. But still she didn't listen. Even though the Lord had spoken very clearly, very powerfully to her in the death of her husband. So the Lord had to speak again. And he had to take away the two boys as well. In the light of that, you contemplate the question this evening. What will God have to take from you before you come back to him? Before you come back into fellowship again with the Lord? What will God have to take from you before you start to listen to his voice once more as he speaks to your heart? Will he have to take away your health? Will he have to take away your job? Will he have to take away your business? Take away your money? Take away your source of income? Maybe as it was here, will he have to take away some of your loved ones? But remember, brothers and sisters, the backslider can lose the family in another way. Because you can lose the family to the world, lose them to sin, to the devil, and ultimately lose them to hell. If you're backslidden, then remember this. Your child has not been prayed for, as they should. Your child has not been witnessed to, as they should. Not been taught the word of God. Your children have not been given the right example by your life, by the way that you're living. Your children are not having the right influence, those good, positive, strong, godly, gospel influences coming upon their life. You know, sometimes Christians wonder why their children do the things they do. Maybe don't come to the house of God as they should, don't come to the meetings the way that they would want. Well, here's the question for us all to consider. Are they just following your example? Following the life that you live? You don't put the priority on the things of God. So if you don't do it, why are you amazed when your children don't do it either? You're not being an influence for good. And the result of that is the children get caught up in all the things of this world. You think of Lot. Not a doubt that Lot was saved. You wouldn't know that, of course, from what you read about him in the Old Testament. That's why we need to read the whole Bible. One part throws light on another. Peter speaks about just Lot. So it's clear from the word of God, from what Peter says, that Lot was saved. Lot was converted. But Lot lost his children. And he lost his children to the fires of God's vengeance in the city of Sodom. Why was that? Well, because he had no testimony. No testimony before his own family. Remember, it says he seemed unto them as one that mocked. When he started to talk seriously about the things of God, because of the way he'd been living, that they thought it was just a joke. His life had had no influence whatsoever upon them. There wasn't the good example. He was a man too that like Naomi and the family went out of the will of God when everyone went down to dwell and to live in Sodom. So the warning, men and women, beware. A backslider can lose their family too. Lose your family to the things of this world. So Naomi, the backslidden mother, she paid the price, lost the joy. She paid a severe price, lost the family. The other one I'll mention is she lost time, the price she paid in time. If you look at verse 4, early part of the chapter, the end of the verse, it says, the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. Ask yourself, how long did Naomi remain in Moab? How long was she away from God, out of his will? How long was she out of fellowship? How long was she backslidden? Well, the answer is for at least 10 years. 10, very long, very painful, very bitter, very unprofitable years. You know the gospel hymn we sometimes hear sung at meetings? Wasted years. That's certainly true of the unconverted person. But it can be true of the believer too. These were wasted years for Naomi and her family. 10 wasted years. 10 years of her life that was lost. No profit. No profit in the things of God. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, and remember, it's good to remember, let me emphasize this to you. It'll help you to understand the book of Ecclesiastes. When Solomon wrote that book, he was writing the experiences of a backslider, of a man who for many years who had lived as a backslider. And he's giving you a clear description of his backslidden life. And it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. That's the relevance of those words. As he looks back on his life, giving himself to pleasure, giving himself to sin, with his focus upon possessions and his focus upon the things of this world. That's the only way he could describe it. It was all vanity. It was all vexation of spirit. There's no better description of living as a backslider than those words, men and women. So let me ask you tonight, if you're out of fellowship with the Lord, if you're a backslider in the service, how many years has it been for you? How many years have you lost, wasted? How many years for you have been vanity? Unprofitable years that God has given to you in this life. Could it be like Naomi, it's been 10 years? Maybe even much more than that. Well, the question, men and women, is, are you going to waste more time? Going to waste more of your years upon this earth? Are you going to continue for more time in that backslidden condition? Consider this carefully. I believe this to be true. The saddest death that any person could die, any Christian person could die, is to die in a backslidden condition. Is that the way you would want to die? Go out from this world someday suddenly, unexpectedly, out of fellowship with God, having been living your life for the things of this world for years, and suddenly summoned into the presence of the Lord himself. So in the light of that, just ask yourself, will you persist? Will you persist until you die as a backslider? Maybe God has to step in. Remember that the Bible does speak about the sin unto death. Sometimes people live in such a way that the Lord has to take them from this scene of time. Their testimony is so disgraceful to the cause of the gospel. So here, men and women, is a little of the price of backsliding. And you see that Naomi, it cost her dearly. Her backsliding in Moab cost her. And it cost her much. And the question is, brethren and sisters, the question I want you to think about personally tonight is, what price have you paid? You haven't been living for the Lord. If you haven't been walking with him as you should, what price have you paid for your backsliding? Just in conclusion, think of this. If this is you tonight, If this is your condition, if this is where you are, if Naomi's life in her backslidden condition sums you up this evening, if this is where you are, maybe you're asking, if you listen to the message tonight, what do I do? What do I do to get right with God? Well, the chapter gives the answer. If you look at verse 6 of the chapter, it says, she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Again, look at the words of our text. Verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And I want to urge you to do the same. Return. That's what you need to do. You need to repent of your sin. As the Lord said to the church in the book of the Revelation, repent and do your first work. So you need to return. You need to return to the Lord. Don't continue out of His will. Don't continue as a backslider. Don't continue in that sad condition. I want to exhort you tonight, as we close the message, close the meeting, I want to exhort you to get restored. Restored to fellowship with Him. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And I emphasize again, those words originally are written to the believer. We often use them in the gospel. But John wrote those words to the Christian. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's a great promise. The early chapters of Jeremiah have much to say about the backslider. He was addressing backsliding Israel at that time. Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. There's what you need to do. Return. Return from your sin. Return to the Lord. Come to Him with confession of sin tonight. And there's the promise of healing. I will heal your backsliding. There's a promise of restoration to fellowship and to your walk with Him again. So think of those words. I went out. She went out from the place of bread. She says, I went out full. She had actually lost her judgment, you know, when she left Bethlehem, because she left because she thought she was empty. She thought she'd be better off, it'd be more profitable living in Moab. But now she realized, I went out full. And the Lord hath brought me home. Well, that was true. The Lord brought her back. But the Lord didn't bring her back empty. That was a consequence. That was the result of her life, the way she had lived in the land of Moab. I went out full. And the Lord hath brought me home again, empty. I pray the Lord will bring you back again, bring you home. Home to your Father's house. Home again to fellowship with Him. We're going to sing a hymn that's in keeping with that, or some verses of it. 269. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Think of that second verse. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Now I'm coming home. So the first three verses only of the hymn 269 will stand as we sing, please. Heavenly Father, we do seek thee in prayer at the close of the meeting, thankful for your goodness to us. Lord, we're mindful that you've told us that you're the God that knows the hearts of all men. What a solemn thought that is as you look down upon us. You know our hearts tonight, our spiritual condition. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll keep us near the cross, keep us near thyself. Lord, we want to pray for any in the congregation and our families that have wandered away from thee, from their fellowship with the Lord. Lord, we pray that you might speak to them, how it can be, Father, at times that someone can be out of God's will, living for the things of this world and not conscious just of where they are. Remember that Nathan had to come and challenge David and say that thou art the man. So Lord, we want to pray, speak to hearts. We pray that you'll touch hearts. We pray that for those that will be restored again, that will be brought back from their waywardness and coldness and brought into fellowship again with God. We ask thee, Father, come and move. Come and move in our churches. Come and move in our families. And Lord, come, we pray, and move in our own hearts and in our own souls. Hear our prayers. We pray as we go from the meeting, we'll be conscious of the Lord being with us. And Lord, give to us a greater sense of the fear of God. And bring that, we pray, in mighty power upon our land even once more. And we ask now that you'll spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.